Brothers and sisters, let us now read Lord's Day 50 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 50, there we read what the Church confesses, and now she summarizes from the Word of God about the fourth petition. What is the fourth petition? Give us today our daily bread. It is, provide us with all our bodily needs, so that we may acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good, and that our care and labor and also your gifts cannot do us any good without your blessing. Grant, therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it only in you. Brothers and sisters, let us sing after a sermon in response to the Word of God from Psalm 84, the stanzas 3 and 4. Beloved brothers and sisters, congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray in our prayer this petition for our daily bread, and by doing so we acknowledge that it has to come from God. Everything we need, every day again. Food, drink, everything we may enjoy, clothes, our job, our holidays, school, leisure time, much more. There's nothing which we have that is not given to us by God. We receive everything from Him. And now God tells us to honor and praise Him for that, and to acknowledge Him as the giver of all this. And that is what we do when we pray this petition. And then He also demands us to use it in such a way that He will be honored by it. Honored in all our words and deeds as the creator of everything that is good. And sometimes we try to explain this petition in such a way as if we need our bread and much more to be able to serve God. That it is only a means for another goal. We need our holidays so that thereafter we can start our work refreshed and with renewed energy. But we must realize that we can and must also serve and praise God and honor God by eating and enjoying our food and drinking the drink and enjoying our holidays and so much more what we may enjoy. And this morning we heard that God's people, the worship of God's people, was a worship of joy, a worship of feasting. And Jerusalem was a city of feasts. If we see the food only as something which we need in order to be able to serve God, then we don't really understand the goal of our creation. The Apostle Paul explains in 1 Timothy 4 that everything that God created is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. And he says that in opposition to some heretics who teach people to abstain from certain foods, who forbid people to marry, and much more. And then Paul explains that God gave all these good gifts to us to enjoy. He wants to be honored by us by accepting and enjoying these gifts. And the Apostle Paul does not make a distinction between body and spirit, and or body and soul, if it comes to serving God. No, with both, body and soul, we must serve God, and the one is not more important than the other. And that's also what the Heidelberg Catechism emphasizes when it says that this petition means, provide us with all our bodily needs, so that we may acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good. And with that, this petition is not a petition if God will give us sufficient food and drink every day again, so that we are able to do our work. But this is a petition if God will work in us, so that in everything we receive and we don't receive, that we see God's care over us. Not just over our bodies, but also our souls. our spiritual life, our complete life. And then we can see the answer to this petition, even if sometimes Christians die of starvation. And still we can say that God heard their prayer, including the fourth petition. Therefore, I proclaim to you the word of God as it is summarized in Lose 50 under this theme. In the fourth petition, we pray to God as the giver of all good gifts. In the first, we see what do we pray for, and second, we see how do we pray. In the first place, what do we pray for? Just as the first three petitions, this petition is about the honor of God. We don't need this petition only in times of famine or poverty, but also and maybe especially in times of wealth and prosperity. We must pray this petition every day of our lives, but especially in times when we have everything we want, and when we can be pretty sure that tomorrow we also will have enough to eat and drink, and also next week. And especially in those times, it is very easy to forget God as the giver of it all. We can see it in our Western world. As soon as the wealth increases and the stores are full with all different kinds of food, then we see that more and more people don't want to believe in God anymore. They don't want to see Him as the one who gives it anymore. More and more people start to believe that all comes from ourselves, that we build our own wealth, and they don't realize that they totally depend on God. Well, even if the weather is bad, the harvest is seriously affected by bad weather, drought or too much rain or diseases or other disasters, then still we are able to get our food from somewhere else. Then we import it from the other side of the world. But those who live in poverty, in poor countries, who don't have the means which we have, they can't do so. And they know that however hard they may work, they can't change the weather. And they can work the whole day long, but if God sends diseases, then their care and hard labor is in vain. Therefore, being blessed by God with great wealth also brings an enormous responsibility. And this blessing can sometimes turn into a curse, if it becomes a temptation for us not to trust in God anymore. A curse because it drives us away from God, as it is happening now in many of our Western society, in much of our Western society. The wealth makes that many harden their hearts and don't want to know God anymore. They make their own gods and they put a trust in themselves. And especially in such a world, it is important for us to keep praying this petition, and to be reminded time and again by God's word that it all comes from God. And indeed, also those who don't pray, yes, they do get it. Yes, food and drink, often in abundance. But it doesn't bring them real life. It doesn't bring them salvation. It only distracts them from their eternal salvation. And the less they have to worry about their daily food, the less they also will worry about God and their eternal salvation. And that is why it is good that we pray before we eat a breakfast or lunch or supper. And with that we remind ourselves of the fact that also this bread, which is already on the table, it still comes from God. And we praise God as the one who gives it. And when we pray, we must not just acknowledge God as the one who gives us food and drink, but He is the giver of everything in our lives, even our every breath. And we must realize that as well. God demands from us to praise Him and to acknowledge Him as the only fountain of all good, also of the wealth and luxury. We read this afternoon John 2 about the wedding in Cana. John says that this is the first of the miraculous signs which the Lord Jesus performed on earth. When during the feast they were running out of wine, Mary, the mother of Jesus, came to him and told him about it. And what Mary expected from him, John doesn't say here. It was the first sign, so It was not that Mary expected from him to perform another sign, no. But maybe Mary realized that he as the Messiah had come to restore the joy again in Israel and to bring God's blessing. And in the Old Testament, when God speaks about blessings for his people, then often the Bible speaks about a land flowing of milk and honey. And often the wine is being mentioned there also as blessing. If you look at Psalm 104, for instance, that's a beautiful psalm about God's care over nature. In Psalm 104, there we read in verse 15, there is speech about wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread that sustains his heart. Well, there we see the blessings of the Lord made visible in those concrete things in the life of his people. Wine, oil, bread. And maybe Mary in John 2 already understood something of the work of the Lord Jesus, that what he was going to do. And in his very first miracle, the Lord Jesus changed water to wine at the wedding in Cana. Often we have a hard time to understand why exactly he did this miracle and his first miracle and not something else. And that is again because for us often the body and the food and drink for the body is of a lesser value than our spiritual life. But that is not what the Bible teaches us. When we read about the miracles which the Lord Jesus did during his life on earth, then we must be aware of the fact that he did those miracles for a special purpose. The purpose was to teach the people by those miracles. Those miracles were always accompanied by his preaching. He could do no miracles in his hometown, Nazareth, because they didn't believe in him and they didn't accept his preaching. And the Pharisees demanded from him a sign, a miracle through which he would prove that he had divine authority. But then he did not give them any sign. He mentioned them only the sign of Jonah, the prophet, a sign from the history, from the past. So the miracles he performed were all an addition to his preaching, and he meant to show before the eyes of the people what he preached, what he heard with their ears. He preached the coming of the kingdom, and those miracles showed to the people what the coming of the kingdom means. Sick will be healed, dead will be raised, demons will be driven out. And now in the very first miracle which he performed, he also taught the people something about the kingdom of God. He did not do this miracle just to help the bridegroom and bride so that the feast could continue. No. He showed that it was his task to restore the joy on earth again. In the Old Testament, God promised to bless his people, and blessing meant that they would live in prosperity and enjoy all their days in the land flowing with milk and honey that God was going to give to them, as long as they served the Lord. As long as they were his people, I accepted him as their God and their king. And now in him, in the Lord Jesus, this promise will come to fulfillment. Christ came to bring the kingdom of God. And to the kingdom of God belongs that people will receive food and drink in abundance. He gave bread to 5,000 when there were only 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. And in Cana, he gave wine when the wine was gone. He shows that he cares for his people and that he will give them joy when they first seek his kingdom and his righteousness. That is how God works. We read more often in the New Testament that the Lord Jesus and his disciples attended weddings. And that he ate and drank with many people. Sometimes they even accused him of not fasting. And with that, not obeying the rules of the Pharisees. And when you look at so many leaders of all kinds of religious sects, even Christian groups, sometimes when you look, for instance, at the monks and the monasteries in the Middle Ages, many of them proclaimed a life in sobriety. But Lord Jesus showed something different. Indeed, so now and then it can be good to fast and to live a sober life. But that is not our future. That is not our lifestyle. Our future is, and therefore our lifestyle now, may also be that we will enjoy the many good things and that we will receive many blessings, also in food and drink. And in the Old Testament prophecies, the kingdom of God is often described as a place where God's people will have good wines and choice meat and the best food in abundance. And it teaches us that indeed already on this earth we may enjoy all the good gifts which God gives to us. If God speaks about the future creation, a new heaven and a new earth, as a place where there will be choice food in abundance, then certainly on this earth already we may enjoy the good food we already receive. As long as we receive it with thankfulness. And that's what the Apostle Paul teaches us in 1 Timothy 4, verse 4. There we read, "For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving." Keep that in mind always, if it is received with thanksgiving. Everything is good, nothing is to be rejected. Also our feasts, our holidays, our leisure time, all the things we may enjoy. We receive it all from God. And we use it then also to praise God. When we drink a good wine or beer, if we are not addicted, we may enjoy a good wine, good beer. But then we do it to the praise and to the glory of God. But if we get drunk, if we get addicted to it, then we misuse the good gifts of God, and then God will not bless it. And then alcohol can become a curse to us and destroy our lives. And therefore acknowledge God as the fountain of all good. And when we pray, then that should be the aim of our prayer. We pray, give us this day, give us today our daily bread. And it means that we pray for everything that we need so that we can praise God. We are not going to present to God a long wish list. Lord, this is what I would like to have. This is what I think I need. And please give it to me. No. Then we ask God to give us our daily bread. We are not going to prescribe Him in our prayer how much our daily bread shall be. And we are not going to tell Him that He has to heal us from our sickness and that He has to help us at school and that He has to bless our undertaking at work because we serve Him so well. But then we go to Him in humbleness and we lay all our needs before Him and all our sorrows and all our concerns. We bring it all before Him and then we ask Him to show us what we need and to give us what we need. Sometimes Christians don't receive food and drink and they have to suffer from famine and thirst. But then that is their daily bread. That is what they need to acknowledge God as the only fountain of all good. And all good that is not just bread and water, and that is everything we need for body and soul. And sometimes it is necessary that God withholds food and drink for the body to give us what we need for the soul. Sometimes it is necessary that God does not give us health, but that we will continue to suffer from diseases because God wants us to glorify His name in our sickness. Paul prayed God for 3 times if His thorn in the flesh could be taken away from him. But God said, no, my power is made perfect in your weakness. And that is how Paul had to glorify God. Sometimes God deems it necessary to send us adversity so that through adversity, through struggles, He can strengthen our faith and we would show that we put our trust in Him. And then we will praise Him also in those circumstances. We will glorify Him and acknowledge Him also then as the only fountain of all good. But also then we may and must know that the ultimate goal of God with our lives is that we will live with him forever in his heavenly glory. And if we open our Bibles to Romans 8, then we can read there what the Apostle Paul says about that. In Romans 8, verse 18, there we read. Romans 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And just before that, in verse 17, he said that we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Our sufferings on this earth, they may be necessary for us, so that we will praise God and his name be glorified in our lives. But we know that those sufferings are only temporary. Through our sufferings, we will reach our eternal glory in Christ. And that is the trust we must have in prosperity and in adversity, as we read in Romans 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? And when we pray this petition with this attitude, then we will always praise God and give thanks to him in prosperity and in adversity, in health and in sickness, in wealth and in poverty. And in the second place, we will see how do we pray. Our joy and our happiness in our lives don't come from our possessions, from our wealth, from our food and drink. They all find their source in God, the only fountain of all good. And if God is the only fountain of all good, then indeed we will find our joy in him, even if there is no food and there is no drink. The prophet Habakkuk also speaks about that in Habakkuk 3. There in Habakkuk 3 he speaks in 3 verse 17 to 19, where he says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. That is how our attitude should be, and how we should pray this fourth petition. Isn't that a beautiful text? It's a well-known text. We even have it as a song in the Book of Praise. Our joy does not depend on our own wealth, on our own possessions, not on our money, not on our position, but our joy depends on God, who is the one who gives us every day our daily bread, who provides us with what we need to serve him and glorify his name on earth. Then we can be happy with a simple loaf of bread and a bottle of milk when we have lunch at school, and instead of all those expensive and unhealthy kinds of food, because we are not satisfied anymore with simple bread. And then we don't adopt a lifestyle of this world in which many get heavily into debt to be able to keep up with the Joneses, but then we are happy with what we get and don't want to have more than we can afford. And then we are happy and find satisfaction in everything that God gives to us without coveting what is not ours. Because the source of joy is not in our possessions, but it is in God, the only fountain of all good, and in Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior, who obtained for us everlasting life. And then living with God in his presence brings us far greater happiness than keeping up a facade for this world of prosperity and high standing. One day in your house, O Lord, is more than 1,000 elsewhere. Indeed, as Christians, we may enjoy all the good gifts that God gives to us. And if we do receive much material wealth, then we may enjoy it and praise God for that. And if our neighbor, our brother, our sister in church receives much material wealth, we will not be envious and begrudge them, but we will be happy with them. And if we receive good food, then we may enjoy it and have a good meal. And we will praise God for that and give Him thanks for that. Because that only makes it good if it is received with thanksgiving. If you forget to give thanks to God for that, then it is sin. It is important that we never forget to thank God for all His good gifts. As Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 4, the text which I quoted before, nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. If we don't receive it with thanksgiving, then it is not good. If we get so many blessings from the Lord, but we don't acknowledge Him as the only fountain of all good, if we don't thank Him for those good gifts, then it is sin. But if we do thank Him for His good gifts and acknowledge Him as the giver, then we expect everything from Him all the days of our lives. And then we put our trust in Him and only in Him and not in any creature. Then we realize that our entire life is given to us by God, including food and drink. It all depends on God's blessing. Indeed, I know those who don't believe and don't pray this petition, they also get food and drink, and often much more. Wealth and prosperity, and sometimes it can seem as if they receive more than Christians do. But that does not make us jealous, because we know that we don't find our joy in that, but only in God. And those who don't find the joy in God, well, they may have everything they desire, but still they don't find satisfaction in it. And still they create new desires, and they will never have enough. It is remarkable that usually the most rich people are also the most greedy people. Not always, but often that seems to be true. They will never be completely happy because they feel that their lives are empty. They want to have more, they want to have something else. Or they try to hide it by going from one feast to the other and by trying to drink it away in beer and wine to find consolation in drunkenness or in feasts or in drugs or in a busy career or so many other things. But they will never find the satisfaction and the happiness which we may receive from God our Father in our Lord Jesus Christ. He will provide us with everything that we need for our daily lives and much more than that. He will provide us with everlasting happiness and joy in our eternal life with Him, in His glory, and with His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward to the wedding feast of the Lamb. It is a feast, an everlasting feast, never ending, full of joy and happiness. And the beginning of that we may already have now on this earth. God, the only fountain of all good, blesses us, and we will praise Him and thank Him for His many blessings. We will place our trust in Him because He is the only one who can give everything to us. Amen.